look, always come with something positive before you come with the negative. Because if you come with what they're doing wrong, the fences go up already. And matter of fact, anytime they see somebody of authority coming towards them, the fences go up. You know, so our job is to disarm them and let them remind them of what they're doing good and then get into what they can do better. But not just saying it, showing it. You know, see, we can't be critical of somebody and we ain't doing stuff right ourselves. You know, it's not about being perfectionist or doing things all right, you know, but we can't be critical of somebody doing something wrong and we're doing the same thing. Come on. Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to say a question.
Uh-huh.
It says, how do you handle correction or discipline that you just met?
Right.
Well, it's both. Or discipline.
I know, or discipline.
Yeah.
Well, if you're disciplining somebody, aren't you giving them instructions on how to do something? Correcting somebody, aren't you correcting something wrong in them?
Well, when you discipline somebody, you kind of giving them direction. Yeah, you're giving them some direction
on how to
do it differently. And
when you're correcting somebody, you're trying to correct something.
And it's not just discipline and what they're doing wrong, because some of the discipline is the punishment. Some of the discipline is the punishment.
Yes, it can be perceived as punishment if it's perceived wrong.
Yeah, it can be. But discipline is punishment. If your parents tell you you're being disciplined, you're being disciplined for what you did, so now you're on punishment for a week in the house, or you got to do dishes or the rest of the week.
So you're doing the dishes.
No, that's the discipline. Yeah, that's the discipline. The correction is telling them what they did wrong and showing them something different.
Okay. I know what I'm trying to do. So what's
go ahead, brother.
So this is always an issue in relationships. Because in relationships, when you try to
correct, I should have known you were going somewhere.
That's my skill. Amen. So, because one of the most misunderstood analysis or understanding about correcting somebody is how to correct them and what time to correct them, the tone you need to correct them with, and the words that need to be spoken. See, if I'm correcting you with an attitude, and my attitude overshadows my opinion, then all you hear is my attitude instead of my true opinion. So that's why I always teach the three C's. When you're giving your opinion, make sure you don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Right? And make sure that your body language and your tone and your energy is low. That's the lesson.
I like that. Three C's: criticize, condemn, I heard you say that before, you know, and I think that's very important, you know, because what happens is, because, see, we can become on defensive, you know, and I've seen it oftentimes, and it creates, instead of fixing the situation, it makes the situation worse, you know. We got another comment. Go ahead.
I guess I just want to add to what Pastor Bruce was saying and apply it. I can help us to apply it to what goes on in Israel. We have this system called the correction system. And the correction system, based on the way man designed it, was not here to help you redirect yourself. It was punitive. Okay? So when people talk correction, when most humans talk correction, they're not talking straightening out what was crooked, which is part of the correction. They're talking about disciplining you, smacking your hands. And so when we talk it in the Word, it makes people cringe because they think of it as a whooping. You know, y'all all hear me say this when I'm teasing you all. But the word in Proverbs is both of those words are necessary because correction does straighten your path. Discipline, on the other hand, makes you understand what you've done wrong and then what is right. Okay, I take that back to raising children. When we discipline children, what you do is you say some things to them about what they've done in error. I won't say wrong, in error. And then you tell them what they should have been doing or how to do it differently.
Yes.
That's discipline. Now, this discipline also sometimes means you have to have them have time to think about it. Correction is training, discipline is thinking. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome. Jermaine, you want to read number three?
Yeah. Number three says, what kind of influence do I allow from powerful or wealthy people?
What kind of influence do I allow from powerful and wealthy people? You know, I can't remember where I was at just the other day. Matter of fact, I was at a meeting of different leaders of organizations. And they ask this question, how many wealthy people do you have or do you know in your home? You know, with people who you can contact and get information from that you don't have. You know, and sometimes we don't realize how important that is. You know, they have that saying, show me your friends, I'll show you where you're going.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we don't realize the company we keep. You know, you said this one time. You said that the people you're around, that they're not at a higher level than you are at. You found yourself sometimes, you know, when you was always the one that was kind of taking the lead. You know, and so then where do you get your lead? You know, and that's why it's important to have corner. That's why it's important to have the right type of people around you and connected to you.
Okay. So the question was, what kind of influence do I allow from powerful or wealthy people? I say a lot of times people get that twisted because they think wealthy means people that are rich. But that's not what wealth is. Wealth is the wisdom to obtain those riches.
Yes.
So what kind of influence do I allow? If they've got wisdom, I'm going to let them pour into and learn how to be broke.
I mean,
how to be rich from a broke person.
That's the truth. That's powerful. You got something
to say? Yeah, I used to look up to the wrong people and for the wrong things. But when you grow with God, seriously, a lot of things will not attract you or you just don't care for you. And I don't really, like me personally, like my walk, man, I look at people, I don't really care them, jewels, the cars, none of that. I want to know, like, the fruits. Like, what are you doing, you know, in God's house? How are you treating people? How are you treating people when you're frustrated, when you're angry? The decisions you make when you're under pressure. That's how I look at people now. And most importantly, do you put God first? Because I don't care your position. If you're in the highest position, you don't got God in your life. I really don't care what you're trying to say. Or I might listen to it a little bit, but what I'm going to do with it is going to be a little differently than what I'm going to do with somebody that has God in their life. And I see him walking and walking and talking and talking.
You know, it's funny you said that because I spoke about this on Sunday, and I just heard it spoken yesterday when I was at this meeting by one of the young old gang members who said, it's not about what you know, it's about how much you care. You know, and that's what people are looking for. Do you really care? You know, that's where the real influence happens at. You know, and there's too many people just based on what they know. That's not all it is.
You know. Brother Jermaine, you said basically you examine the fruit by looking at the fruit.
Yeah.
And the scripture talks about when you live that life before people, the fruit will remain. So your fruit is only remaining. You just keep going and keep examining their fruit by looking at what the fruit is.
Yeah.
So they can talk one day, but if their fruit is not there, it's not lasting and it's not remaining, you know that at the core, underneath the surface, think about how a tree grows. Those roots grow deep. Underneath the surface, the root is back.
And connected. It ain't connected. You know, and that's so important And you know, I talk about Brother Jermaine because I'm watching his roots grow deeper. You know, I'm seeing the fruit that's coming from his life and the people that's connected to him. You know, and that's what it's about. That's what this walk is about. And that's what I'm excited about. Number five, it says here, number four, talking about roots. Are there areas in my life where I've allowed temptation to take root? Just talking about roots, you know. So she was just talking about a positive root. This is a negative root. And this is something that we got to be conscious of because the enemy want to tempt us in different areas because he knows the areas where we fall short. And he's going to try to tempt you in those areas of your desire. Your desires, and that's the part where we got to put this flesh under subjection. We got to make sure it's lined up with God's will, not just our will and our desire. You know, making sure all of it lines up with God. Then it don't have no opportunity to take. You know, not that it's not going to come in, but it can't stay. Amen? You want to read number five? And then we're going to get into the scripture.
Number five said, how can I bring joy and honor to those who have guided me?
Go ahead. She jumped up on that one. Come on.
I'm just going to speak bad from a pastor's behalf. Okay, when I guide people and everything else, the best thing they can do is grow. Every pastor, every person that leads somebody to Christ, that's all they really want to do is grow in God.
You know, and Jermaine, he hear me say it all the time. All I want to do is watch his testimonies continue to grow. You know, and in seeing his testimony, that's evidence of the growth. You know, and that's the greatest gift. You know, my step-pop said this to me when I was away. And I told him, I'm going to make you proud. He said, just be the best version of yourself you can be. That's what he said. He said, I'm not looking for nothing. He said, just be the best version of yourself that you can be. You know, and I was just so thankful because that was one person that was always in my corner during that time I was away. You know, if I had a need, he was able to place them in my life to help take care of that. You know, but to have him to see my life change and see me doing what I'm doing, I believe he's proud. And I know God's proud, but I know he's proud because he sees the fruit of what he poured in. You know, like you said, that's all God wants from all of us. That's it. He ain't looking for nothing special. He's just looking for you to be better. That's it. Jermaine, you want to read verse 1 through 3? And it talks about guard yourself around power and wealth. Guard yourself around power and wealth.
Verse 1 says, when you sit down to eat with the ruler, consider who and what are before you. For you will put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to desire. Be not desirous of his dainties, for it is disciple food offered with questionable motives.
Deceptive food offered with questionable motives. You know, and that's that part what she talked about. It's not about monetary wealth, it's the mental wealth. You know, and too often we chase after the monetary stuff, you know, and we don't know what they had to sacrifice to get that. And for you desiring it, what it's going to take for you to sacrifice to get it, you know, and that's the part that we got to be very mindful of. Okay? I see you want to say something. Come on up. Can you say that into the mic? that's very important, because it goes to beyond that. But go ahead.
It goes beyond just desiring, you know, power and wealth. A lot of times people look at other people in church and they desire what they have. They desire that gift. They desire, you know, they want to be like you. But what they don't understand is the cost of the oil. Yeah. It's extremely expensive. The cost of the anointing, you know, salvation is free, but the anointing is expensive. And it's even more expensive to maintain.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we got another comment.
Yeah, Facebook or YouTube. Yeah. I'm gonna type in Faith Harvest Worship Center on Facebook. Yeah, on both.
Well, thank you, and you know, hearing things like that is so important, because it makes, like she said, this that we do here, getting up here and sharing our testimony, sharing the truth that God has given us, all we can hope for is for other people to be impacted, to see their lives change, to have them see the evidence of what God can do in their life, you know, and that's always been my prayer. And I asked God, if he gave me a chance, I wanted to be able to pour back into other people. I never knew or thought I would be doing it in this capacity, but he did. And I thank God that he used me and gave me this opportunity, and I was obedient enough to follow through and do what he said to do. Because to hear that, to see lives change, is so important. You know, not to me, I don't get nothing. What I get, just to see your lives change, that's the most important part right there.
I think we just had a revelation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. When this young lady walked up. Yes. Go back to our reflections, for correction and discipline. Says it's not hurting. That's the word. You recognize that's hurting. But you're being corrected, disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Because it's a proof that you receive God's word.
Yes.
And it's working in you. Yes. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you're young, you feel like it's hurting. You know, God, that's conscious coming alive.
Yes.
That's the inner man awoke. Yes. That's the power of the anointing, the supernatural kingdom of God.
Yes.
And you know what? And I can tell you this. When I was your age, I was bucking against God. I was making excuses on why I was doing what I was doing, why I was feeling the way I was feeling. I was making myself right and making what God telling me wrong. Until I had to deal with myself. I had to deal with myself. And for you to be able to receive it now and to understand it now, my God, I'm telling you, he got something great in store for you. Yes. And this is the part. And she heard me speak about this. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. And it's not condemnation from God.
So
he don't condemn. And you heard me speak this a couple of weeks ago. God doesn't condemn. He convicts you because he tells you there's another way.
So I'm going to add to what Pastor Bruce just said, and I heard Pastor talk about it when I was getting up. It was on my heart to say, I'm going to turn and look at you when I'm saying this. What feels like condemnation is not, like he said, it's not from God, but the enemy really is trying not to let you. And it's him that you're feeling as the Holy Spirit is working against him. Know that you are holding on to what brings life. And the enemy don't want you to do that. So he wants you to continue to talk about how bad it was, how much I've been paid and all that, because he wants you to reminisce over and over and over. And the Holy Spirit's bringing you to a new revelation of the joy of being in God. So it's okay. And let the process work. It's okay.
You're being set free.
Deliverance is happening in the midst of this right now. The fact that Pastor Luke said that the fact that you came up here was a delivering moment. It's okay.
Romans 7:19 said, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not do to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who walks the will to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." So it's going to be the struggle. We all have that struggle, you know. Because this supernatural life, and this natural life is clashing. And the enemy's trying to, you talk about temptation. And, you know, the more you get into this, the more you learn about this, the temptation gets stronger, but the anointing to resist gets powerful.
Amen.
Awesome. So it says here, it says in lesson, be cautious when in the presence of the power. Not everything that looks good is good. That's a mouthful. Application. Don't be easily impressed. Don't be easily impressed or influenced by wealth or high status. Discern motives and stay grounded. Stay grounded. We talked about the roots and the fruits. That's the evidence of what is producing. And a big part of it is knowing who you are. We got to know who we are and where we're going and not allow other things to influence us based off of what they're doing and where they're going. Because everything ain't for us. And we got to be okay with what God has lined up for us. You know, too many people chasing after all the riches and all that other stuff. Maybe that's not for me. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's just for us to have our own little corner, our own little group, and just build on that. That part of the kingdom. You know, too often we're chasing after what the world says we should be chasing after instead of trusting God and just operating in our area that God has called us to. Amen? You want to read the next one, number 2? Well, it says, don't chase wealth. And you can read verse 4 and 5. Don't chase wealth.
Verse 4 says, worry not yourself to be rich. Seize from your own human wisdom. Will you set your eyes upon wealth when suddenly it is gone? For riches certainly make themselves wings like an eagle that flies towards.
I'm going to read out an Amplified. That's an Amplified?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha. So it says here, obsession with money is fleeting and deceptive. And that's when you talk about the wings of the eagle, how that money, you ever ask for more money and you got it, and then you realize you need more? Every time you get it, and then it's still not enough. Because we're chasing after the wrong thing. a check. Look, they make money whenever they need it. So how much value does it really have? How much value does it really have? It don't have no value. You think about your dollar. By the time you get it, it's been taxed. When you go to the store, it gets taxed. When you buy gas, it gets taxed. How much is that dollar really worth? Nothing. Nothing. And we're chasing after that. And here, the one who created everything, we're not chasing after him. We're not chasing after him. Our Bibles are sitting under the bookshelf in the basement with dust on it, and we ain't opening it up. Where all the wealth in the world is at. And it says here, seek purpose over profit. I'm going to say that again. Seek purpose over profit. Work diligently, but don't let greed lead your life. Don't let greed lead your life. We live in a society that your status is based off of what you have. In the natural, based off of what they see. And like you said earlier, wisdom, real wealth, is the wisdom to get it and maintain it. That's right, and maintain it. Because like I said, it's breathing like an eagle. It's here 1 minute, going the next. Because if you don't know, you don't know the value of it, you don't know how to maintain it, you ain't going to have it long. And too often, we're chasing. You see on TV all the time, everybody is chasing after the one who got the most. That one always seems like they got the most friends, the most people in their life. And it's no real relationship. No real relationship.
Go ahead. I just want to touch on the last the B part of that verse where it says, cease from your own human wisdom. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. That's what the scriptures tell us. So don't think about what you can figure out. And well, I think it should be this way, and I think it should be that way, and I think this is how I'm going to get the money, and this is how I'm going to get the bag.
Some key you said, we finite. We finite, but we serve something. And if we're connected to that, there's nothing that God has for us that we won't have. Come on.
But he's constantly telling us that through the word. Like he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Lean not to your own understanding. My thoughts are far from your thoughts. Like God is consistently telling us, get out your own head, get out your own way, and let me do this, and let me bless you the way I choose to bless you. Because while you may be bleeding from Benz, God may have a Bentley for you, but you're going to settle for the Benz because that's what you wanted to get.
Yes. You know, come on, two people. Come on, I got two people that want to have a comment, and I'm going to share something because,
how do I navigate?
Because I was just getting ready to touch on that, and it comes from spending time with God, spending time in His Word, spending time in His presence, seeking Him out for ourselves. Because too often we're seeking out the world's way. And if we recognize for ourselves that I've been trying it the world's way, it ain't been working. It's not working. So we got to spend more time in His Word. Like she said, He's constantly reminding us in the Word. He's talking to us. But the only way we hear it is we spend time with Him. You know, and I think that's the important part in surrounding ourselves with the wisdom of God and God's people. We got two people. She want to comment. And we
got one. I was really getting ready to get up to say just what you just said. Because we who know the word, I've said this a lot of times, been in the church, we make some statements and quote the scripture like people are going to absolutely understand. And we, I'm saying this to us who are more seasoned in it. We're doing people a disservice. Because they hear it. We know what it means, but they don't know what it means. One. Two, they hear it. They want to know what it means, but what are the steps to get it? So too often we need to stop, slow this roll down, and tell people the steps it takes to, because it's a process that is not going to happen overnight, and we make it sound like just do this, and it's just going to happen. No, that's not how this works. It don't work that way.
Amen. That's why we here now.
So, yeah. Right. So, so I'm going to just name some steps. They're not the only steps. Name some steps. Pastor Ralph said, spend time with in the Word. I've said that, and people said, well, what that mean? So, let's be practical here. Spend time. You know how we sit in front of the TV? Or we listen to music? Or we on our phones? And I, honestly, I can tell you, I caught myself getting up in the morning. First thing I was doing was on my phone, scrolling through Facebook and da-da-da for 45 minutes. And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm running late. Okay, I'm just saying. So that very time we spend doing that, just don't get religious about this. Open the book. Wherever it lands, until you get used to it, read. Yes. Second, prayer is a must. We don't talk about it or do it enough, and it's the only way to get to God. Come on, Ben. You talk.
Trauma going on in my life right now, and I'm going through a lot that I know I can handle right now, but as me coming here and coming to this church, it's opening me up to a lot, and me seeing life differently, and it's just different.
You did an awesome job.
Okay,
you
okay, just wait a minute. I gotta finish this one thing. Oh.
go ahead, Pastor Bruce.
What I want to say is that the enemy don't want you to realize that you are already on the line of God. Like, you have some steps. How to give you steps. And those steps. To move forward in your purpose. See, your purpose is self-revealed by the Holy Spirit. He revealed your purpose. I didn't know my purpose. I was searching just like you guys were doing, searching. But when I'm here, I'm born again, I speak to the Word of God, I go around studying, and then I come to my purpose. This is my purpose, ministry, reconciliation, for relationships. That's my purpose. You're on the final, you're on the kickoff. You see the birds. All that, you're coming alive to this king that created all of this. That's because you're authorized. But your authorization doesn't get finalized until you sit under authority. You're under authority now. Now you got people to help guide you through your quest to your purpose. Once the purpose is revealed and you keep coming, see, you just can't come to Sunday, church on Sunday. You got to come to Sunday school, you got to Sunday service, you have to get up in the morning with prayer, you have the scripture, you have to have the word study. All of that is going to work out your soul salvation. But those are things in our subconscious mind that's trying to haunt us, from, to blind us from our purpose. That's when this magnificent power of the Holy Spirit will help guide you through all truth. So you're on a flight. You're not on the runway. You're in flight now. You're in a flight now because it seems good to you.
I do have to say one thing about what you said with everything coming back. I have noticed that when I did start coming to church and I did start going to the park and seeing all this different stuff, I did notice that there were like little bad tensions coming into me, and it wasn't.
So I'm read this here, and I had this open, and I didn't know why it was open. And it says, thank goodness for pain. And it says, when you sit in a dentist's chair and she numbs your jaw so she can perform a root canal process, you praise God for the absence of pain. But when you go home and bite the rubbery cheek and blood oozes onto your lips, you wish the twang of pain had warned you not to do that. When your arms fall asleep at night under the weight of your body and your hands can't feel the doorknob of the bathroom door, you realize how precious is the part of the nervous system that senses pressure, temperature, and pain. Too often we assume that pain is evil and that our lives would be improved if we could eliminate all pain. In actuality, we could not survive without the sense of pain that tells our eyes when to blink, our lungs when to cough, our seated bodies when to shift their weight, while fingers went to get away from the fire. In the emotional sense, pain tells us when relationships are out of order, when stress is too great, when grief is the proper response to a personal loss, or when we can no longer cope with the status quo. It says several years ago, Philip Yancey interviewed Dr. Paul Brand in preparation for a writing and wonderfully made. Dr. Brand was a specialist in the temperament of leprosy. Brand insisted that the sensations of pain is essential for survival. He noted that many leprosy patients have damaged eyes and missing fingers and toes because they felt pain. They felt little or no pain to warn them that they were harming themselves. Brand did admit the one legitimate complaint you can make against pain is that it cannot be switched off. It can rage out of control, as with a terminal cancer patient, even though its warning has been heard and there is no more that can be done to treat the cause of pain. And then it says, and we're going to close, well, not yet, we're closing, yet we still got time. And it says here, respond to spiritual pain. In the spiritual realm, pain rages out of control when you do not deal with its cause, or when we try to deal with it in the ways other than God's ways. Guilt, fear, anxiety, depression, rage, bitterness are all forms of spiritual and emotional pain. Are these pains of any value? Or are they totally bad? The attitude of the world seems to be that painful emotions must be abolished if a person is to be healthy. True guilt indicates a conscious sensitive to sin. Fear prepares for flight from danger or effort to overcome an obstacle. Anxiety indicates a person needs a recess to reassess his trust in God. His trust in God. Depression is a warning that life has become a burden, and either the weight needs to be lightened or help is needed to bear it. Rage suggests that a person has lost perspective and begun taking too much of life as a personal attack. Bitterness means that rage is hardening into a defensive, hostile attitude towards people and circumstances. These pains, like their physical counterparts, indicate that something is wrong. Actions need to be taken to alleviate these pains and get life back into forgiving, peaceful, hopeful, patient, and loving zone. Without the pain, we couldn't take advantage of the pleasures God gives us. You know, and that goes, no test, no testimony. You know, and these are the things sometimes, see, the world make us think that these things that we're going through would take us under. You know, and all of us could, we all have our testimonies ourselves that some of these areas in our lives that we thought we wouldn't make it out of. But here we are. Here we are. And this is the part you need to be excited about, because the same God who got you through that tough spot, he gonna get you through the next tough spot. And as I said, make those obstacles stepping stones. Make them stepping stones. Ask God, what you want me to get from this? What you want me to learn? Because he wants you to be better. So those things, you are overcomer. In him, not in ourselves. In him. And that's the part that we got to continue to trust and stand on. Amen? You want to say something? I know we done. Wait.
A little bit, I think, actually. I look at circumstances a little differently now. Because, honestly, in the circumstances, all my own circumstances would make me who I am today. And without those circumstances, I would be far away from God, bro. And it was purposeful. I was confused and frustrated. It was so purposeful. But now I have the understanding that God can't just wave a magic wand and change my life overnight. It got to change me through people, situations, things like that. I understand that now. So now when I go through different circumstances, I go with a different perspective. Like you always said, what do God want me to learn from this? And back to what you were saying about like sometimes you can't really hear God. Or like, how do you know if you're hearing God? I learned that I couldn't hear God at all because I heard him. Now, I was sinning a lot and doing a lot, and I was making excuses for a lot. But then when I needed them, I couldn't hear the voice. But when I realized, when I started cleaning them areas up, the best way I can, because I'm still, going through stuff too, trust me. But when I started cleaning up in those areas and being true to him and true to myself, I could start to hear him more. And it do come with spending time with God. Because I'm not as Bible as much as I would like to be, you know what I'm saying? But I'm quick to put a sermon on YouTube because I'm in the truck, I drive a lot. I'm spending an hour listening to a preacher preach about something I ain't hearing. And every time you come on, I hear something new. Every time. Or it's confirmation to what God already told me. But the more I listen, the more I get fed. But I'm hungry for it. So that's why I'm here. I don't want to miss a Sunday. I'm thankful to sit at the table and be in the environment with these people. So they want me to do more. I'm going to do more because God is using them to do more of my life. So I'm trying to clean up in them areas so I can be honest with God. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing swept into the rug no more. So you got to be honest to yourself. You know, you got to let some things go. Get cut for you. God can't pour it to you. You know, you got to let go of some of your old ways so you can ask the word of God into it, honestly.
Amen. Amen. Listen. Oh, my God. Thank you. You know, it's so good when you see us, because I'm included, when we grab hold of the evidence of God in our life.
Yes.
You know, and we can recognize it. You know, and like you said, one of the biggest part of it is we got to clean the closet out. If we want to invite God in, we got to open all the doors.
Yeah.
We can't keep the doors closed and saying, I can't let him in. We can't hold some stuff back from him. Yeah, and can I be honest with y'all? He already knows what's in the closet. He already knows what's in the closet. He already knows. See, that's why we said there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There's conviction, and that's what you feel. You feel that conviction of the guilt of doing something wrong. But the world's up. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. So it's about the redemptive process. We got to give it to him. Let it go. We holding on to stuff that he's saying. Let it go. I already went to the cross for that. Sin no more. That's what it's about. That's what he's trying to take us. And this is what Solomon is talking about. That's what this book of Proverbs is talking about. And we're talking about a man where everything that we're chasing after in this world, he had it. And he's telling us who's chasing after those things that, look, it means nothing without God. It's meaningless. Number three, avoid the company of the stingy or selfish. In verses 6 through 8, it says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire the delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you. But his heart is not with you. The morsels you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Family, we got to be careful of the company that we keep. We got to be mindful of them. There's some people in our life who we need to let go of, because they're not bringing nothing to you, but they're taking away. Those words, that wisdom that you've been giving out to them, somebody else needs them. That's why Jesus said, if they don't receive it, dust your feet off and keep it moving. Not to say that, oh, forget about them. No. They're not ready yet. So don't waste your time right there, because somebody else needs what you got. And too often we find ourselves, you know, I shared this with my wife, and me and Pastor Ray was just talking about this. Because the word reminds us that not everybody is going to get it. Not everybody is going to get it. And that's a tough pill to swallow. And you know what makes it even tougher? Because he said, mother gonna turn against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, father against son. So it's gonna be right in your household. It's gonna be right in your household where it's gonna hurt the most. And we're gonna be trying to hold on and pour in. And they have no desire for it. The world tells us that. And the reality is, this is what God is dealing with us. So if it can happen to God, why can't it happen to us? And this is what he's warning us about. Some gifts come with strings attached. Some gifts come with strings attached. Everything good ain't God. Everything good is not God. And it says here, choose relationships carefully, especially those who offer with hidden motives. That's where the spirit of discernment comes in. That's where the spirit of discernment comes in. And what we talked about, the root, seeing the fruit, and you got to make sure it's lining up with your purpose. And see, if you don't have no sense of direction of where you're going, it can be easy, you can be misled. So that's why God wants you to line your will up with His will. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, to show you. It's going to reveal some things that you couldn't see yourself. But what happens is, we desire it more than what the Holy Spirit is telling us. So we'll push down what the Holy Spirit has warned us about because we have a bigger desire for it. And then we find ourselves going through some trials and tribulations, and we wonder why. Because we ain't trust the Holy Spirit. You already had discernment. I tell people sometimes in relationships, look, they talk about what they doing now. And I said, was they doing that when y'all first got together? So would you expect anything different? You know, we think we could change somebody. They got to have a desire for that themselves. And that's the part where you got to be asking some real questions to people of you're getting into relationships with. And too often we don't ask those questions because we're scared to lose them. Come on, man.
You know, I just asked like this. I need a man, I need a woman, personal basic needs. And in relationships, you know, we just relationships, we fall in love with, we see, we like, we attract, right? And then, but, you know, the odds, yeah, you attract, you know. But then, in the, you know, as the relationship began to grow, to develop, a lot of times we don't know our own personal needs that we ask someone to serve us. See, one of the things that the enemy has tried to unauthorize in the male and female human being is to make you unauthorized to walk in your femininity. When a woman knows that she's feminine, it's attractive to a man. And when a man walks in his masculinity, it don't mean muscle. As a man, it's attracted to a woman. By nature, God made opposite attracts. You know, so what the enemy tried to do is make you unauthorized to tell you that you could be something else. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to be that something else. Your own natural personal needs are not met by the opposite sex. And so when there's a clash there, people struggle. That's why you find so many people with a lost identity. Mm-hmm. They want to be something else who God called them to be. Like, you know, how He created. And so what happens is that the whole, it becomes familiar. It's a familiar spirit. Everybody starts to be familiar with it. They see it. No problem. But for Bible study, Church of God in Christ had a conference. And there was a huge Church of God in Christ, one of the biggest. It was huge. There was thousands of people there. And this guy got up on the podium and he told all those cave guys, walking with pocketbooks, tight pants, and bow ties. He called them to the carpet and told them, God don't hit you. This is wrong. Because what you're doing is you're influencing another generation. You're making the other generation, because the enemy's already trying to steal their identity anyway and their purpose. So you, by walking around acting like that and make it look pleasurable, because sin does have a pleasurable season, but you never tell you about the back door.
That's right.
The back door is spooky.
That's right.
When God pulls the covers off and the back door is open, ooh, the shame tells you that you're wrong. But anyway, back to the sermon. He laid them out, and people run into the altar. Somebody stood in the pulpit and pointed out how these guys are flaunting this attitude in the church. And it needs to be spoken about. You know, we're not trying to make people hurt people. We're trying to bring truth to life. Yeah. So people can walk out of the shame and the degradation that the enemy's done. Make you try to rob you of your true identity. So that's where your purpose and your true strength comes and your true authorization comes.
women must walk in their femininity. They have to. They have to. I mean, it's powerful. When God woke Adam up and he seen Eve, you know what he said? He said, "Whoa, brother, what you have done that? Daddy, what you have done here, that?" And he wasn't talking about the sexual part. He talking about the femininity that pulled him away. He never seen it. He never experienced it. But it woke him up to how powerful the femininity of a woman is.
There's a presence.
Yes.
There's a presence.
Put the purple, the green, the yellow, the flowers, stuff around the house, and change the smell, all that fragrance stuff. I'll be happy.
Amen. Amen. You know, we got another comment.
I don't know.
Or even compare yourself to other women.
Listen, I'm so glad when Pastor Rob said he's doing Proverbs. Everybody who's done with women's ministry know we studied Proverbs 31 for a long time. Because, so I'm going to make this real short. Every one of us was created by God. I want you to be Proverbs 31. To be a Proverbs 31. Most people refer to that because they only think of us as wives, okay? But and we are made. We were created. That's our purpose, to be with the mate. But there are some personalities, characteristics that are in you, God created, because he created you female. You don't have to always work on those things. You just have to be who he called you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like jeans and t-shirts, that don't make you not feminine. That makes you like a certain dress. Now, if you want to change, or Holy Spirit said it's time to change that, and he does change us over the years as women, I can tell you, some of the stuff I used to wear, I ain't had no business with it on, y'all. Just want y'all, I'm going to say that, okay? And so over the years, the Holy Spirit will work with you to finish grooming and molding you into who God called you to be. But you're going to always be a Proverbs 31 woman, because that's what he called us to be when he pulled us out of me. You and I, we're going to go Proverbs 31. So you don't have to worry about that. The enemy would keep you worried. I'm not walking around here switching like the next lady. You don't have to need all that.
And that's a part of, and I know you want to say something, that's a part of knowing who you are, knowing your value. You heard what you talk about. When God brought Eve from Adam, he brought her with a purpose, you know, and her purpose is to be that helpmate for that partner. And it wasn't about a sexual helpmate, and it wasn't about the appearance. It wasn't about how she looked. It was the essence of her. You know, her presence in itself, you know, and what's up in here, not just how you
look on the outer shell. Because it's a whole lot of people who might look good on the outer shell, but have no value. And that's why it's important for you to know your value, know your purpose. And I got some ladies over here who want to have a comment real quick. You want to say something to them?
Like they said, know your worth and everything. Because I made a lot of mistakes and like not knowing my worth. Like so many, like you know, I'm ashamed of them a lot. You know, but know your worth is beautiful and you're gonna be good. Don't even become me too. You know, the people that you choose to be around. I was in a relationship when I was 16 years old, going to 22 years old. Like I was just with him. I was like a wife right there. I thought he was married, but you know, just you know, learning things. You know, I was. All of it. You see people, you grow up around, you just want something a little bit different. You know, not seeing anything wrong with them, it's a little bit different, a little bit better, whatever. So I was doing that then, of course, when I, you know, got, when I broke up with him, that's, you know, I had fun because I was just with him the whole time. You know, so I just, you know, have fun making mistakes that I, you know, asked God to forgive me for and everything. And then I met Bruce and we got together and everything. And I met, made a lot of friends that weren't really friends, you know, you're going out. I'm showing my heart to all these different people, but like you said, it's, they don't really have the same heart for you. But they, you know, it's just I'm out there bringing the best things out, passing it all about, you know, stuff like that. And just, after I realized that I didn't want to do that anymore, I wanted something different, and you know, I met Bruce and we got together and everything. And then after he passed away, those friends started hitting me up. Talking about you want to go this or you want to go hang out, you know, do this, and I didn't do that. I was like, I wanted something different. I chose not to make type of relationships again with those certain friends because I didn't want to do that again. You know what I mean?
And that's a part of knowing your value. Yeah. Knowing your value. And as you mature, your perspectives change. And the closer you get to God, it even changes even more. Those things you used to like to do, you don't like to do no more. And that's how you can grow apart from people, and sometimes people don't understand that. You know, and you got to be okay with people not understanding that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a part of knowing who you are and having that value. He wants to say something. We're about to close in a minute.
I want to say that you may not ever fit the criteria for somebody. Enough is not, like, it just ain't enough for some people. Some people always want more. Enough is never enough. It's never satisfying. But what I realized in my life, where I said, I can help everybody who loves me win, and I can win them over by doing what's right for God. If I'm loyal to God, I'm loyal to myself, I'm loving, I'm doing what God would want me to do, it's a win-win for everybody else because I'm not hurting nobody, I'm not damaging nobody, I'm not worrying about, am I doing enough to satisfy somebody? You worry about that so much, you get so far away from God. I'm telling you, worry about what somebody cares about, how they look at you, what they think. That's so much energy into the wrong place. You got to put that energy into what matters. God, because he don't care how you dress it. If the sexual part good enough, he don't care about none of that. You know, so I'm like, as long as I satisfy God, if I really care about my family, I really care about my kids, if I'm satisfying God, they will be satisfied also in the process.
Amen. And to tap onto what Brother Jermaine just said, if you see first, chase after God and get in your word, and you just get closer to God and you begin to pray and continue to build your relationship with God. If you seek Him first, all those other things, the man, the house, the boys, the kids, all of those things are going to be added to you in the appointed time that God has for you, because what God has for you is for you.
That's right.
Bottom line, and every time the enemy tries to whisper that to you, oh, you're not good enough for them, remind the enemy what God has for me.
Amen. So with that, we don't close on that one. I see somebody over there got, she got anxious feet right now. Come on, Elder, come on up, come on up. Say, close us out. And with that, we don't close, as we said, ministry course. So if God placed on your heart to sow a seed, for those here who want to sow a seed in the basket. Those out there, information is coming up. Please sow a seed. Come be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. 10:30 on Sundays, on Wednesdays, 6 o'clock. We're doing something here basically every day of the week. We have a finance class starting on this coming Tuesday at 6:30. So come be a part of what we're doing. Amen. Come on,
I'm just going to close out with this piece. I need everybody just to focus on just a small piece right now. Sometimes we expand ourselves so much to try to take too much in at one time. Okay? I'm not saying you're limited in thinking or feeling. I'm saying that this is a process. God created man and woman. He created man. Let me fix that. We say that. God created man and woman, which makes people think that he created man and woman exactly the same. Not so. He created man. He took woman out of what he created. So there's differences. And in those differences, there's also likes, which says there is an innate need for a man to have a woman because she was part of him. You know, if they take a kidney out, they really want you to have two kidneys. You know what I'm saying? So when God took the woman out of man, he's always going to want the piece that makes him one flesh, because that's what the word calls one flesh. The woman was taken from him, from his rib. There's a piece of us that's always going to want the man, and I didn't say amen, the man, because every one of us has somebody God has ordained for us to become one flesh with. Now, some people will be single all their lives, okay? I need you to know that. And that can be a choice, and God can honor that choice. Don't get that wrong. Yeah, don't call us. Yeah. But and there's nothing wrong with being single in God. There you go. Thank you, Pastor. You got this carries him and I all went to talk about this. You could be completely whole and unique and great and powerful and authoritative and gorgeous and all those things in God. So you don't have to have a man. We don't have to have a woman. But the unity, and there's a purpose. You need to come to classes. We can talk about this stuff. Let me go sit down. So I'm throwing the clothes out. I'm the pastor. Bruce, I'm throwing the clothes out. You come with me. Come on, y'all. Stand up. Look, this is good stuff, y'all. This is such, Pastor Rob, thank you. Thank you, Jermaine. Thank you so much. Because church has not been dealing with this stuff for many years. We want to deal with it because we're not going to let the enemy dupe our people. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for real talk. Thank you, God, for real answers. Thank you, God, for real God. Thank you, Lord, for real people, God. And thank you for bringing all of that together in one place on tonight, Father. And we know, God, that it is your purpose, your desire, God, that we would be whole, lacking, missing nothing, God, in you. So we thank you, God, as you take us all through this process. To be whole in you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that will never leave us and always brings us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Thank you for the instructors, God, Pastor Rob, and for our brother for being part of, Lord, the instruments that bring us, God, understanding and knowledge of your word, and for kindling the fire of thirst, Lord, to worship you, to serve you, and to be about your business. God, we ask you to bless these, your people, as they leave this place, but not your presence. And then, God, on the appointed time, returning, Father, with a refueled desire, God, to know and love and serve you the more, that we may give your name the honor and the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.